Eternal Dirtles is a podcast sponsored by Paragon City Games and supporters like you. Come to our Patreon at patreon.com/eternaldirtles and support us. Thanks.
Gack, gack. Stitcher supplier is milling over three.
Hogan!
Gack, gack, gack. Sacrifice it to cabal therapy.
Gack, gack, gack. You know who's delving graveyards? None other. So convoke them creatures then. No mana spent, subdelver.
Cast gack on the sack. Gonna trample shit up. 8-8, don't play. True name shit out of luck. Banhammer, did I stammer? R&D done slipped up. We legacy in this necropolis is running amok. Black creatures, new features, straight up casting the gack. Convoking, shit spoken, as a matter of fact. Your caracas starts as nonsense in this moment for show. But this gacking still gon' happen, your life totals no more. Opponent shrugging, they got nothing and conceding the game. It would serve y'all well to remember the name. Hope gack, he attack, coming back for some more. This format shakeup isn't ready to get gack to the floor. What you doing? Stop the brewing and start casting the gack. In the red zone, they all tremble cause they gonna get smacked. Oh, by the way, I got supplier and this HD bug gas. Sign the slip, check the box, go enjoy some Shake Shack.
Hello and welcome to Eternal Dirtles. I'm your host, Zach Clark, and with me as always, Nathan Gulley. And Nate, how's it going?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
It's going very well, actually. I had a really good weekend.
What'd you do this weekend?
I saw
Lizzo yesterday, actually, at Austin City Limits.
Oh, yeah?
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Amy's company has like a booth there, so we got in for free. Right. Well, not for free. We got in, I guess is the better way to put it.
Yeah, you got in.
Because part of them got it for free. But so we all went to see Lizzo, and it was awesome. We also saw Third Eye Blind, who was horrendous.
Oh, come on.
They're the worst. They're the worst.
Why?
They're terrible. They're just bad. They've always been a bad band.
Oh, I liked Third Eye Blind when I was 15.
Amy liked Third Eye Blind, too.
And did you just not like Third Eye Blind, or was Third Eye Blind bad?
Well, I don't like Third Eye Blind, and they were, hard to watch.
Okay.
Apparently, the guy from Third Eye Blind's 55.
I mean...
that's an old dude.
That's how old people that played music when we were 15 are, man.
No, I don't think so, because, he would have been, 35 when that record came out then. That's still pretty old for, a music guy.
Fine. Third Eye Blind is bad, but...
they're bad.
I had to get that shot weekend.
Because we're going to talk about you. Yes. You had a great weekend.
Yeah, I had a great weekend. I top aided the Mana Drain Open.
So the Mana Drain Open is in Waterbury, Connecticut?
Yeah,
or somewhere near there.
At Waterbury, Connecticut. They hold it at a VFW. Fun fact, the very first time I played Magic was at a VFW for Boy Scouts. That's where we used to meet. So full circle. Coming all the way around.
That's pretty awesome.
Or as Radiance Machines like to say, it's coming back around again.
Yes, that is correct. Radiance Machine, by the way.
Yeah.
Awesome.
To keep the weird 90s references running. So anyhow, it's a pretty cool event. It's run by Raymond Robillard, who runs a pretty solid event. Normally when we go to these events, Nate, you go, you play Magic, you leave. That's what you're in for, right? You go to this thing, you see your friends, whatnot, you talk to people, you play Magic, that's the whole thing, and then you get out of here. The Mana Drain opens a little different. They have a ton of puzzles. You start off, they hand you a packet that's just Magic the Puzzling, it's got all these, there's a crossword puzzle. I'm holding it in my hands right now, so if you hear the paper flapping in the breeze here.
We got the documents right here.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a crossword puzzle. Maybe we'll scan that and throw that onto the to the internet so people can see it, because I didn't complete mine on purpose because I wanted to show it to people. Then there's an answer sheet for a couple of things that they had on this big cardboard box. There was four different puzzles. One was Magic the Puzzling. One was what do these five cards have in common? Stuff like that. There was another one that was a weird word puzzle. Pretty cool.
And they're all Magic themed?
Yeah, and this was a vintage. One of them was a vintage card was split into 24 different cards. and each one of them was just one like small part of a magic card, and you had to figure out what all 24 cards were, which was pretty cool.
And they made these? They make this?
Yeah. For the thing?
Like, or is it like
they dug it up? Glued a bunch of cards to a thing, and they were like, here's what your opponent has, here's what you have, how do you win, that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I did not realize that.
So the crossword puzzle is the only thing that you can really do and see here, but it's a pretty cool crossword puzzle. I'm going to give you just one, Nate. Three across, it is six letters long, abbreviated name for one of the most powerful blue cards, which is frequently causing deck list issues.
Abbreviated name... Recall.
Yes, you got it. So it's stuff like that. It's pretty cool. Yeah, so I'll take a photo of that. We'll post that, you know, on our Twitter or something like that, so you guys can check it out and, you know, do the puzzles yourself as well.
That's really cool.
So, yeah, so there was that. And then what's really cool is because of the VFW, you know, they had a vendor, which was great. But they also had a... They had a ton of pizza that Raymond bought to sell at the event for like $2 a piece or something like that. And every time you bought something from the vendor or you bought something from the concession stand, you got a clue card, and you put your name on the clue card, and that went into the raffle. And then occasionally throughout the day, he would just draw and there'd be, you know, raffle prizes. I won one of the raffle prizes too, which was pretty cool.
And what was your prize?
My prize was a puzzle of Ancestral Recall, like a 500-piece puzzle that me and my wife actually put together yesterday.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so that's pretty great. Cool. And then, you know, they gave out stuff like playmats, which we have a playmat, so we're going to give that out to one of our patrons as well in a coming drawing. So I won a playmat for top aiding, which was cool. But he was giving out playmats. They gave out a Japanese Yawgmoth's will that was done for completing. One of the other things that came in your packet was one piece of a giant mural of planeswalkers that everyone had one piece of to like put onto and put in order, which is pretty cool. So there was a lot of like other cool things that were happening that were like there to kind of fill up your time in between rounds.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
it was really cool.
That's
really
a cool idea that I well don't. Curated. I, yeah. Like just so, a thing to do. Like it reminds me of the thing you get my kids get when they get on the plane.
Exactly.
Like Delta just hands them like it's like a little coloring book with like a pencil.
Yeah, that's great.
And it's like circle. What's different on this plane from this plane? That'd be awesome for Magic tournaments.
So it's basically like highlights for Magic players.
Yeah.
For those of you who can remember
Goofus, highlights. We should do Goofus and Gallant. That should be a segment. Goofus and Gallant for Magic.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Goofus plays lands in front.
Goofus plays opportunity.
So I'm going to get a bunch of mail. Hey, playing lands in front was in the original rulebook. I know. If anyone knows it's in the revised rulebook, it's me. But I'm just saying. That was the first thing that came to my mind. Yeah. Goofus plays lands in front.
So
top eight the open.
Yeah, top eight the open. What should I do? Take you guys through like a quick seven rounds?
I want to talk a little bit more just quickly about the Mana Drain Open. So the Mana Drain is the vintage. This is a vintage tournament. I don't know if we got around to that.
Yes,
but it was a vintage tournament. Which, by the way, Zach goes, hey, I'm going to text us. He goes, hey, I'm playing the Mana Drain Open. I'm going to play some Rug Infect. And I said, wow, in vintage? And you said, it's vintage.
Yeah,
I was like,
whoops.
It's called the Mana Drain.
Forgot that I was playing in a vintage tournament. Yeah, it totally makes sense when you think about it. So I didn't realize I was playing in a vintage tournament until about 3 or 4 days beforehand. And I was like, okay, well, I'll put together the same vintage deck I played at NYSE and a couple of changes for the cards that have been restricted since then.
So you've got like this, is it four color?
This is a four color, I would call it a rug threshold list. That splashes black.
Yeah.
And I'm just splashing
black for
Yixla Jailers. Because it's Yixla. A deck where what I saw at NYSE was a lot of Dredge. And I know that they banned, they restricted with Golgari Grave Troll. But I was still worried that I could absolutely not beat a resolved Hogak. So.
You couldn't beat a resolved Hogak.
No, I just can't. Unless I get all of the things out for Tarmogoyf, I cannot beat a Hogak.
That's
I
actually
literally
impossible.
Need a tribal spell in the yard as well to be able to like even block a Hogak.
I'm just looking. Yeah, so the only black card you've got, I mean, you've got two Ravenous Trap, but that doesn't count.
Yeah, I mean, Ravenous Trap kept. And Leyline of,
the Void.
You know, those aren't black cards.
And then two Euclid Jailer. And then the rest of it's just like good. It's like a blue-green deck, mostly, with bolts. Oh, you have a Chandra Torch of Defiance.
And cool. Wrens and Chandra Torch of Defiance. Red. Yeah, there's a lot of
I was looking at like four Collector Oof, two Snapcaster Mage.
Yeah, so that's the big the big change from last time is I decided that Collector Oof was amazing in the last tournament I played, and I wasn't playing enough of them. Previously, I'd been playing two. Now I'm playing four, and luckily they had restricted Mental Misstep. I was playing three, so I could just take those missteps out, put two more Collector Oof in. And let me tell you, Collector Oof was the star of the day, Nate.
I definitely agree with you. I mean, like, I played it. Like, I had the same experience when I played my last Vintage tournament. Just, like, Collector Oof is great. It's great in Vintage.
Yeah. I mean, so many people, like, occasionally keep hands where they just have artifact mana. And I'm playing Wastelands, and I'm playing Strip Mind, and I'm playing Wren. So I have the ability to get their lands off the board. But so many times people just want to play artifact mana, and they're not even paying attention to the fact that, like, you could turn one Collector Oof, and, you know, like, I don't care what happens to my Mox Emerald, honestly. Like, after I've got Collector Oof out, I've got four artifacts, that's it.
That's what makes it so great. That's what makes it so great.
Yeah. And then I also have Dak Faden to, like, take away their artifact mana as well if I'm just on the Wren Strip Mine plan. You know, like, I have a lot of good ways to get rid of, to stop their artifacts from being a presence on the board. Most of the games that I won were off the back of Collector Oof on like turn one or turn two, and then just protecting it for a little while and just watching my opponent like sit there with a handful of cards and they couldn't do anything.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. Nothing else. I think it's such an interesting card. I think the most interesting interesting component of the deck is four Collector Oof, three Tarmogoyf.
Yeah.
Because like, you know,
you don't need to stop them from playing the game, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So, but of course, Collector Oof against Workshop is like, it's actually pretty good because they have like a bunch of rando stuff. Like, well, one, they have a ton of artifact mana, and they also have Steel Overseer, Arcbound Ravager. Yeah. These are all activated abilities, and those are the ones that really kill you. Walking Ballista, right?
Yeah.
So that part is good, but then you really can't attack.
Walking Ballista means they actually can't get rid of my Oof because Walking Ballista doesn't work.
Right, exactly. And I guess then you've got three bolts with two Snapcaster Mages, and then Dak Faden, which is probably just enough to roll over most stops. Most shops, hands plus Tarmogoyf is a good blocker against them.
Yep.
And you can just board out your like Yixlid Jailers.
Yeah, the Yixlid Jailers, I think, to preface this whole thing, I think going forward, I would move back to a straight rug list because we didn't see, honestly, in the tournament, we didn't even see that many dredge lists. I think we saw out of 78 people, there were like four dredge lists.
I will say this way. So I did not play in this because my aunt is in town visiting, but the Austin Vintage Circuit Romancing the Stones did have a vintage tournament on Saturday, same day. And the finals was two survival the top four was two survival, one dredge.
There were no survival lists at all in this event, and there were five dredge lists.
Because you did them. Actually, you have a whole
I have the breakdown. Let me give you the quick breakdown real fast. So from top to bottom here, there were 15 shops decks. That's 19.2% of the field. We have Jeskai Dreadhorde, 11 decks at 14.1. There were six bug lists. 7.6%. Fastbond Depths, four decks at 5.1%. Jeskai Control, which was basically the Jeskai deck that didn't have Dreadhorde Arcanist in it. I feel like those are two very different decks. At 7, so that's 7.6% of the meta. Seven Storm decks. So here's the thing about the Storm decks. There were two Storm decks that were not DPS, Dark Petition Storm, and one Storm deck that was playing Grapeshot. I don't know what that's all about.
Really?
That's interesting. I don't know. I have no idea what that's all about, but I couldn't list it as anything but Storm because that's kind of what it was doing.
It's got Grapeshot.
There was the same amount of Paradoxical Outcome decks at 7.6%, six decks. There were four rug lists. I was the only rug list playing more than two Collector Ulf, though. Some decks were, some were only playing one. But I think that's the main thing that that made a difference in the day for me. There was one Landstill deck, five Dredge, five Oath, both at 6.4%. One Reanimator list, which I played against, so I'll talk about that in a second. Two Hate Bears decks. They're totally different Hate Bears. One was a like a green-red Hate Bear played by John Keating, a listener, patron of the show. Thank you, John. And then there was another Hate Bears list that was a white Hate Bears list, which was like Liliana and whatnot.
Liliana.
There was Thalia.
The opposite of Liliana.
Yeah. There was one Gifts deck that I looked at and went, whoa, I don't know. And then there was one blue-white deck that was basically Jeskai Control without the red.
And they must have had back to basics or something.
I think there was back to basics in there. So I'll post the list of all the decks that I played against, just so that people can see what I played against. But if you have like,
now, how did you get all this data? How did you get all this data?
So that's what's great. So Ray put up all the data into a file. All the photos of everyone's decks are there and everything. So it made it super easy. I actually hit him up today and was just like, hey, can you give me a quick list of the people I played? I'm missing one person. I'm not sure what it was. He was able to like really quick go in. So excellent service as far as a TO is concerned as well. Like that, like being able to just
and
reach
so
out
fast.
Yeah. Like immediately, you know? So that was great. I really look forward to doing this again next year. This was a really fun event. Also, one of the other cool things is, so what they do here is the feature match person stays in the feature match as long as they continue winning. And if they get knocked out, they have to move, they move off and the person that beat them continues to be the feature match. Fun fact, there were only two people, there were only two reigning feature match people. Samantha Dayton, who I beat in the fifth round, and then I played round six and seven in the feature match area.
There you go.
Well, five, six, and seven, obviously.
That's pretty funny. That's awesome. Well, there was no, there was, it wasn't streamed, right?
It was not streamed. Bummed about that, but like, what can you do? It's, you know, these events. That's a whole logistical thing. That's a whole thing on top of itself.
Yeah, we, you know, it is a thing.
Yeah.
To set it up, especially at a BFW,
yeah,
where the internet could be spotty.
Oh God.
So of course, like, I think we talked about the deck, talked a little bit about the meta, which is great. I'm just want to look again. Sorry, you sent us via text, and I kind of keeps locking.
Let me see if there's anything else that I can think of off the top of my head.
Well, just what I'm saying is just like, so let's look. We got 19.2% shops, right? Mm-hmm. And then we've got Jeskai Dreadhorde as 14, Bug 7, and then Rug 5. So 14 plus, you know, let's say 7.5 plus 5, 21, 26. So you got 26% of that are basically like the Xerox decks, unless you want to say that Bug is more big blue and goes in with the Jeskai Control.
No, these were Xerox Bug decks. Yeah. They were basically, you know, the only difference is like they're playing Abrupt Decay. You know,
well, even Jeskai Control is probably more of a Xerox deck, right?
Yeah.
Like, is it
definitely
really light? And that's, what's the difference between the Dreadhorde decks and the Control decks?
Dreadhorde.
That's it?
They're either, like, some of them are playing Pyromancer, some of them are playing Dreadhorde.
I'm just looking at what we have online. So I see one of these, this one has Lavinia. Is like Lavinia just in these decks?
Yeah, Lavinia's in all the decks, for the most part.
Is she in the Jeskai Control deck?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I mean, not every single one, but for the most part, that's a staple. That's like, you know, I actually thought about, for this deck, if I took out the Yixla Jailers and splashed white, I would play Lavinia, because that just is another way to lock your opponent out too.
Yeah.
But then I'd have
okay,
to play
so
a plateau
you got that.
instead of a Badlands. So it's like, come on.
Yeah. Well, here's what I love. I love 7.6%. Ritual Storm, 7.6% PO, 6.4% Dredge, 6.4% Oath. That's got to be your, like, we play this deck no matter what's going on.
Yeah, I
like,
100% think,
you know,
some of these people are just like,
there's
this
a 5%,
is what I play.
There's a 5% floor on all those decks, right, at this point, which is funny that PO splits what would have been probably a bunch of Ritual players, or maybe even some of the, like, maybe Oath players play PO. I don't know. Yeah. I'm just trying to think. It's just amazing to me that there's just like, yep, I play Oath. That's what we're doing. We're playing Oath today. We're playing Dredge today. And then, you know, you have Lancel guy, which is awesome. So, I mean, it just it interesting how the vintage. So Fastbond Depths, I'm curious about that, of course.
Yeah, yeah. So
Fastbond these decks Depths aren't just these is, aren't is always like the deck list. I played.
Yeah, Fastbond Depths is basically like a new style list since they unrestricted Fastbond, where people are just playing like Dark Depths and ways to make it happen. And with Fastbond, you can make it happen pretty easily.
Do they all have Bazaar and Workshop?
Not all of them. Some of them don't play Bazaar in Workshop. Some of them do. I think there's a lot of disparity about what is the exact correct list, I think. The guy who drove me up, John Grudzina, it was playing it, and I feel like we could probably have him on sometime and ask him more about that particular deck.
Did he play Bazaar in Workshop?
That's a great question. I can find out in just a minute. While we're doing that, while I'm figuring that out, you have any other...
Well, my question was going to be, because I really just felt that like the black green deck I played was so good that I look at this and I'm like, yeah, I don't see any problem with playing just like Dark Depths again. But we can get to that more when we're talking more about what to play in the future in Vintage. I mean, I've seen this deck that has Bazaar and Workshop.
So yes, the answer is yes, Bazaar and Workshop for John.
Yeah, but I should look and see. So he must have just copied this deck. These decks don't have creatures. My deck played like a creature package, which included like Collector Oof. They have them in the sideboard.
They have Reclaimers in the board. They have Oofs in the board as well. Sanctum Prelate as well. Sanctum Prelate was a card that I constantly heard from Storm players that they were like, he played a Sanctum Prelate, I lost.
Oh yeah, it's a disaster if you can get into play for them, I should say. Because they want to play Tabernacle. I mean, this deck, like, jeez, look at the price tag. Now, granted, I didn't play, you know, you can play. How many proxies was this tournament?
15.
15 proxy.
Yep.
So, like, 15 proxies. Let's see, 4 Bazaars, 4 Mitra's Workshop.
Yeah.
1 Tabernacle, 1 Mox, 1 Lotus, 1 Emerald. Is that 15?
4, close. 8,
9, 10, 11. I'm just looking to see if I can play this. 4, 8, 9, 10, 11. Another Tabernacle in the sideboard.
Are you counting?
Yeah, I could.
Oh, I guess you're not. They're not playing a jet.
They're not even playing a pearl for the
one
in
Lightning Diamonds. Tutor. People are playing diamonds, huh?
Well, he's got 34 lands plus 4 Riftstone Portal.
Yeah.
I think this is hilarious. So yeah, I mean, our events are 75 proxy, so it's fine. I could play this. I just like having the access to the Green Sun Zenith game 1 for Collector Roof. Reclaimer or what's card? Deathrite Shaman, which is, you know, still a good card.
Yep, Deathrite Shaman is a playable card in this format. It doesn't even make me mad when I see one hit the board. I'm like, okay, this is a fair card here.
Well, people aren't all in on Mana Denial in the same way.
Yeah.
Not a lot of dazes in Vintage. So
no, actually, okay, what's crazy is so dazes quickly becoming a thing, Nate. People are playing 2-3 of them in their decks right now.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I'm looking to find one.
I know Vasu was playing with some dazes. Let's see here.
It's in. I see this deck is called Esper BBK, BPK, which has to be Brian P. Kelly. And I see one daze. To bounce back.
And I think Roland played some number of dazes as well. Let's see here.
This deck is a trip.
Yep, one daze.
One Deathrite, one Bob, one Lavinia, 2 Sanctum Prelate, 1 Thief of Sanity, 1 Tassiger, 1 Bloodsteel Colossus.
Tassiger.
That's, I don't know, whatever I found is what that. Anyway, so we should get into your tournament now because it was you had a good run, you had a good deck.
First time in a long time.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Round one.
Round one, I played against David Nunez, who was on DPS. DPS is Dark Petition Storm. Game one, I just played Collector Ulf and Wasteland, Strip Mine, and I got Renin 6 out, and I ultimated Renin 6, and I cast Time Walk, and he was like, I scoop. Game two, similar-ish, but I had to tap out to cast, I tapped out to cast Dak Faden to get something going because I wasn't seeing anything, and he hadn't gone off yet. So I decked, and I looked the cards in my hand were I think I had an Ulf on the board, so I was stopping his artifact mana, but I was just trying to find something else to do. And I deck, I draw two cards, one's a land, one's I have a Pyroblast in my hand, and one is a Mental Misstep, and I have to choose between Pyroblast and Mental Misstep as far as what I want to keep, and I'm tapped out, so I'm like, okay, Mental Misstep, here we go. I think under any other circumstances, I would have kept the Pyroblast. Maybe that wasn't right, but I got rid of the Pyroblast, I kept the Mental Misstep. Past turn, he cast Dark Ritual, I Mental Misstepped it, and that was pretty much the game at that point. Like, he started trying to look for other stuff to do, but I was able to start wastelanding him after that, and that kind of ended the game for him. So I got round one, 2-0. Great. Yep. Round two, I play against Hank Zong on DPS again. So in game one, I did the thing. I just played Collector Ulf, Strip Mine, wastelanded Hank out of the game. A lot of this is going to sound very similar because this is what happened so many times for me during this tournament. So game one, I got Hank pretty swiftly. Game two, I go to board. I board in because I was worried about like Yawgmoth's Will, so I was like, okay, like I'll go ahead and play a couple. I think I put in four ley lines. It's like, all right, let's just do this. I'll take out the Yixla Jailers. I'll put in the ley lines and see what happens. And of course, I shuffle up. Look at my hand. There's no gas in it. I mulligan. Shuffle up. I've got two ley lines of the void in my opener. And instead of doing the smart thing, Nate, and putting a ley line under my deck, I play both ley lines and forget to mulligan. So
now you're in trouble.
Well, a couple turns go by, and Hank's like, how do you have seven cards right now? And I'm like, oh, no. So we call a judge. I get a warning, and Hank gets to thought seize me, basically. So in my hand, I had like a Force of Will, a couple other things. He took the Force of Will. And the game goes on for a couple more turns, but Hank eventually is able to just get me. I didn't have much else going on, unfortunately. I was close. I think I had him down to like four life and could have killed him the next turn. But he also had gotten – he tinkered for a Citadel and
Ballista
Citadel. And he was able to get him – I mean, he went very low on life, but he was able to finally get to a point where he could just cast his 10 spells and get me. He didn't need to – Yawgmoth's Will.
Yeah.
So game two happens, and almost the same thing happens here. I mean, not the mulligan situation. I kept a seven. And I got out a Collector Ulf, and I started attacking in. Get out a Tarmogoyf, I start attacking in. And finally, Hank just goes, okay, here we go. Land, Dark Ritual. I'm like, that resolves. And then he just went and cast 10 spells straight up. Got me. So Hank got me. It was my only loss in Swiss. And that's great. To me, that's fine. Like, I lost to somebody I know. And somebody I also wanted to see, you know, do well in the tournament. So I was like, this is, you know, like normally when I take a loss in the second round, I'm like, maybe this deck isn't that good, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe I made a mistake, you know, but I was like, I was feeling good about the loss. So I was like, okay, cool. Like, just let's keep playing. X and two can make it. I'm only X and one. Let's try it. So then we go to Tim Moran, who I showed you his deck list earlier, and I was like, how does this deck win? This is the fast bond, like lands deck that I still looking at. I'm like, how do you play this deck?
I gotta look at it.
Yeah, this.
I have no idea.
So, bring it up.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. I'm looking at it now.
So this deck wins in several different ways, but the main ways that it wins is by casting fast bond, Zurin Orb, and then being able to use Crucible of Worlds to kind of cycle your mana that way, or by casting Trade Routes and bouncing your lands with like a soul land like City of Traders. The other thing you can do is sort of channel Fireball people with this combo by using Sunscorched Desert and just bouncing it to your hand and like playing it a bunch of times. So that's what, three ways you can win? The other way is by making near infinite mana or infinite mana. If you have Zornor about, you can do that with the Crucible of Worlds.
And then you wish for Ballista.
You wish for Ballista, or you wish for Emrakul, depending on how, you know, like what your opponent's up to, and you do that. So this deck was so weird. I never saw any of it go off because I you know what doesn't pass the False Cure test?
Fast trade bond. Roots. Oh, well, they're gonna say trade
no,
roots.
No, trade roots well, also.
Fast bond is a.
I saw fast bond. It was like counterspell. I can't have that in play. Yeah. I don't know what you're doing.
Don't let them have a fast bond. Is really good. I mean, but like that's been
trade
true since 1993.
I never even saw trade roots both games. And both games went very quickly for me. I saw weird stuff going on, and I just wasteland and stripped everything out of
yeah, this games. Deck does not seem like it has a good time against Renin 6.
No.
One yeah, Mystic Sanctuary, one yeah. Radiant Fountain. Is Radiant Fountain just you gain 2 life?
Gain 2 life. Yeah, but like you can, you know, if you need to gain infinite life, there you go. Boop, 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 boop. Because you gain 2 life, not 1 life, Nate. Trade Roots, so, Fast Bond, Radiant Fountain, infinite life.
Yeah, okay, sorry. I was just reading Radiant Fountain.
You're just like still like, no, I don't believe it.
I'm just staring at it. I'm like, okay, yeah, when Radiant Fountain is available, you gain 2 life, tap, and yeah. 1 to your mandible. Cool.
So this was all right. This was a non-game for me particularly, but the match was fun. I just didn't know my opponent was on until the end. He did have, at one point, he had a Glacial Chasm out, and I let him pay 4 life. I think after he paid 2 life, I played a Wasteland, assuming that he would just get rid of his Glacial Chasm. He didn't. He paid 4 life. So then after he paid 4 life, I stripped it during my turn and attacked him for the kill. But I don't know. Maybe that could have been smart on his end, because maybe he just wanted me to waste that resource.
I'm just realizing that our opponent has a Tinker.
Yeah.
With the
tinker,
only...
The tinker is for the Crucible. Yeah.
Or for the Zurian Orb.
Or for a Mox Jet.
This is a trip. Well, what are you tinkering away to get?
This is a Nate deck for sure. I looked at this and was like, this is a deck that's like.
This is a lot of thinking for me though.
Yeah.
that's the difference. This deck is like trying to do too many things at once, whereas I would do one mediocre thing.
I appreciate
like, everything
how insanely weird this deck is.
That's sweet. Okay, so you beat this guy.
Yeah, so I beat this deck. Then I went up against Joe Savinella. Joe was playing what I thought was a 2-card Monty deck, because in game 1, he did all this stuff and discarded an Emrakul into his yard, put that on the stack, and cast Shallow Grave, which I immediately counterspelled. I was like, absolutely, no, positively no, right? But he only plays one of each of those cards in the deck. So I was like, okay, what is this deck? So I finally got a chance to look at the deck as a whole. Let me bring it up real fast. We're looking at he's 4 Force Wills, 4 Dazes. There you go, there's your 4 Dazes. Force Negation, Gitaxian Probe, Brainstorm, Ponder, Time Walk, Ancestral Recall, Preordain. All of these cards sound like, oh, this is just, you know, this is a Xerox deck. And then Dark Ritual, Demonic Tutor, Vampiric Tutor, Demonic Consultation, 4 Thoughtseize, 4 Entomb, 1 Emrakul, 2 Grizzlebrand, 4 Shallowgrave. So I was playing 4 Shallowgrave. So this is just a Shallowgrave deck, right? And then we went to board after I won game 1, and I saw him take out like 9 cards. And I was like, oh no, he's got like a transformative sideboard. crap, I have to like, I was like, I still think I have to like play the ley lines, because at least like if he's playing Snapcasters or something, I'll at least get some value on that. You know, I just don't want him to have access to his graveyard. I don't want to lose to him reanimating something. So if he just took out everything that has to do with his graveyard, whatever, I've won that particular part of the match, I guess, right?
Yeah.
And then I just have to be wary of what else he can do. So he did. He brought in Back to Basics. He brought in Monastery, Mentor, Counterbalance. He had a Counterbalance up against me at one point. It's not as good against my deck, because I have so many 3s and 2s. That it didn't make as big of a difference. I was able to just cast, like, I think I got some stuff down. I put an Ambush Viper Snapcaster Mage in at one point. I cast Time Walk and attacked with like 2 2-2s a few times, and that killed him. But the first game, I really had no idea what was going on.
Yeah. Well, either way, so you've got through a couple vintage decks.
Yeah, so that's, you know, I've seen three other vintage decks thus far, and only two of them are decks that I really knew about.
Well, only one of them was a deck you really knew about.
Yeah, this is true. Only two of the matches. So then I go into round five, and I'm in a feature match. This is when I texted you guys. I was like, "Yo, guys, I'm 3-1, and I have a feature match right now." So I go over to the feature match table, and I'm greeted by Samantha Dayton, and she's on Jeskai Dreadhorde. And this is a deck that I was sort of ready for. This is one of the decks that I just like knew that this was, you know, kind of what I was trying to fight against with my deck. I figure, you know, I'm going to be good enough to know when what to kill. And a lot of their cards don't really matter to me that much. Like, they're not doing anything better than I am. Like, Narset is basically just a draw two for them. Because I'm not going to deck myself with their Narset on the board, and I'm certainly not gonna I only play like Brainstorm, Ponder. I play Preordain, but I think I was only playing two Preordain, so my deck isn't full of draw spells. It's really more board presence than draw spells. So the Narsets I wasn't really bothered about, and I'm playing Bolt, so if I really wanted to get a Narset off the board, I could just wait till they draw a card with the Narset and then Bolt the Narset and it's gone, which is exactly what ended up happening. In the first game, she played a Narset. I bolted it because I wanted to snapcast her Ancestral Recall. And she misdirected it back to me. I took it and I bolted it again, and it went off the board. And then I Ancestral Recalled. This was a classic example of how good is Strip Mine. Game one, I play Wasteland. After she plays Volcanic Island, I waste the land. Pass turn, she goes, "Oh, I should think about maybe being smarter with my fetches." She fetches an island. She's like, "Unless you have a Strip Mine." And I was like, "Oh, Soul Reed, Strip Mine." And then I think a little after that, I got out Ren, and I was just able to keep her off the board. And then I got Collectorulf down, and she was locked out of the game.
Oh boy, hold on,
and,
sorry.
In fact, by the time she was locked out of the game, was when I think she had just gotten Narset down, so I wanted to get rid of it so I could cast more spells. Draw more cards, she wasn't able to use any more mana because of the Ulf being in play, so that's why she had to misdirect the bolt.
Well, I mean, I think like you're right. I actually didn't realize how like it was funny. We just had, I don't know if it's gonna come through, but like I was on Twitter because it's easier to read. You posted your list to Twitter. It's easier to read that on my phone.
Yeah,
and I was just looking to see. I didn't believe you. I thought you had more than two Preordains.
Nope, so your deck I'm just playing two Preordains. So at one point I was playing three, and I wanted to play the Ixla Jailers, so I took out that, and I took out a Gataxian Probe because I don't think Gataxian Probe does much for me. I'm not trying to get my opponent, you know, and just drawing a card doesn't do anything. So I don't.
You're really less Xeroxy. You got four Wastelands. Yeah, really less Xeroxy. Very to the board here. It's almost it's like a vintage Hate Bears deck in a way, because Ren and Six is kind of a Hate Bear.
Yeah, Ren and Six is the hateiest bear.
You do have Treasure Cruise.
Yeah, but Treasure Cruise is a one mana spell for the most part. Like, let's be honest. Yeah. I have Dig and Treasure Cruise, and they're great when you resolve them. What I meant was
you've got Treasure Cruise, but and you've got Dak, but I guess if you're just gonna like kill there, you've got so many creatures to attack down Narset. Yeah. That
and the deck, honestly, the deck is there to just take their Moxes away from them.
Right.
So this
4-1.
Yeah, this went well, and I won this. Samantha was a blast to play against. She was, you know, cracking jokes the entire time while we were playing. So that was great. So then we go on to Chuck Greb. Chuck was on PO. And these games are really fast too. PO is like, I specialize against this deck, right? Like, I'm playing four Collector Ulf. So PO was just like the dream matchup. That was exactly what I wanted to play against. And the big like takeaway from that match was like, when you put Collector Ulf on the board and you're stripping and wasting, obviously things don't go well for them. There's not a whole lot much more to say about that matchup. The one thing I'll say is,
you can stick a Collector Ulf if they can't win.
Yeah, the one thing I'll say is he had a Notion Thief in his deck, and it's a bummer that I wasn't drawing cards really, because Notion Thief would have been awesome against that, but he had to play it to like block my Tarmogoyf, like on one of his turns, just so he didn't die. And I didn't even look to think like, oh, I have lethal here, because I could have shot it with my Renin 6. Instead, I like put another strip mine in my hand, so giving him another turn to like kill to do something. But with Collector Ulf and Goyf on the board, and you know, like there wasn't a whole lot going on for him. Again, dude was a pleasure to play against, though. You know, no, the thing that I always worry about when playing a deck like this is the level of salt that I might have to deal with from people who just don't get to play Magic. Like, I almost feel like a shops deck. And I'm never having fun.
Yeah, that's the world of hate bears.
You know, I'm just never having fun playing against a shops deck. So, I don't know. Nobody seemed like they were like, oh, F this guy. You know, like that was nice to have happen for me. Then we go to round 7. And round 7 was nice and quick and easy, because I knew, talking to Vasu, talking to a couple other people, if I get paired up against somebody who has the same amount of points as me, 15 at this point, I should be able to just draw and make it in, no problem. There were 3 13-point people that could become 6, like if 2 of them became 16 points, there was a possibility of like getting nudged off, but I think I would rather have the low chance of being in ninth place versus the like coin flip of this person's also good at Magic. Who knows what could happen? Either one of us could lose this round and not be in the top 8. And luckily I was paired up against David Kaplan. So, you know, there was nothing to really think about. We both wanted to see each other in the top 8. So, we drew and, sat down.
And then top 8.
So then we go to the quarterfinals, and this is where things, the wheels start to fall off for me, because it was a long day for me. 7 rounds, maybe not for other people, maybe not for our younger, better Magic players, but I'm 39 years old, man. 7 rounds. I woke up at like 7 o'clock this morning. It's now like 9 o'clock. You know, it's just too much. So at the quarterfinals, I'm playing against Will McGran, who is on shops. I don't know that he's on shops because I didn't do a good job scouting when I was when I had that last round. I just sat down to try and decompress for a minute. I get a deck reg error, because if you look at my list, I have 1 Lightning Bolt in my sideboard and I have 2 Pyroblasts in my main deck, and my sideboard, when they checked it, had 4 Lightning Bolts in my main deck and 2 Pyroblasts in my sideboard. So, I just wasn't paying attention. And I looked, when I gave a cursory glance to my board, I just looked at it and said, oh, these are all sideboard cards. I'm good.
Yep. That's why the Pyroblast mainly was get you.
Yep. So, I mean,
and it looks, you would have lost that game with Pyroblast in your main deck anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is like, you know, it's even worse because like, no one was like, oh, this guy's definitely cheating, but like, it does look like I'm hedging there, which, you know, I honestly wasn't. And beyond that, like, they were like, we're going to check your sideboard. Everyone should make sure that their sideboard's good. I should have just pulled out my list, you know? So like, they not only gave me the warning that they were doing it. On top of that, I just like was like, yep, this is fine. So I got that game loss, and in the next game, I took the play, looked at my hand. It was fine. I still don't know what Will's playing, but my hand looks okay. Had I known he was on shops, I would have mulliganed to something better. But his turn is my turn was land go. He goes strip mine. I'm like, okay. Then he throws down 2 Moxes and a Thorn of Amethyst, and I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, that's a good shop's hand.
Yep. And so then the next turn, I play a land. He untaps. He plays a soul land and a lodestone golem. And I'm like, oh, this is bad. I think the game's over now. I drew a collector ulf, but I still couldn't cast it. I played another land and I passed turn. He attacks me. I played another land. He attacks me. And I was, you know, I was dead by then. He played like two other creatures and the game was over.
We could play the collector ulf off three lands.
No, I think he had the other one, the non-artifacts one. Sphere of Resistance, not Thorn of Amethyst.
Oh, okay, so the not all spells cost one less, not...
Whatever it was or bad one more, for not. Me.
Yeah. Well, Thorn into Lodestone Golem means you can cast Ulf off three games. But okay, so what happened was you had a game loss, and then your opponent had a great hand. Great hand.
Yeah.
Your opponent had four... they had four restricted cards in their opener. Five, because I think Sphere might be restricted.
Yeah.
I always forget which one's restricted, Sphere or Thorn. Thorn is restricted.
Is it?
No, Thorn is restricted.
Thorn is restricted, you're right. Yeah, so, you know, what are you going to do? That was a... It was a sad ending to what was a pretty solid run, but Will did end up going on to win the tournament, so that, you know, I'm happy for him, like...
And who did he play in the finals?
He played Hank Zong in the finals. Hank.
So you only two losses were to the finalists.
The two people who ended up at the end of the tournament.
So there you go. That's literally what happened to me last time I played Vintage. So here's what I'm saying. Here's what we're saying, folks. You know, if you listen to our Vintage advice, you get just far enough to not make the finals.
I'll take it, man.
You're just worse than every finalist.
I walked away with a little bit of respect from the local community, which was nice. The local Vintage community, I should say. I came away with a couple prizes, $100 for my troubles as well. And you know, it was like an overall pretty fun day. And like I said, they ran a really fun event. I had some pizza, you know. I couldn't complain. I had a great time, and you know, I think even if I had not been doing as well in the tournament, I still have been having a pretty good time. Hanging out with everybody there was a blast. You know, it was nice to get, you know, like people were like rooting me on as I was like going through the tournament as the day progressed, and they kind of realized like, oh crap, his deck is good. He's doing a good job. You know.
Oh crap! No, yeah. it's funny.
Oh man, like Zach Clark.
Yeah, well, I know it's nice. It's a good feeling, and we know we had Cyrus on. He was talking about that, and you know, it is fun to like watch your friends do well, and I'm glad you did well. I really, Vintage is so much fun. Like it really is fun, and like I don't know. Like it's not to say that Legacy isn't fun, but it's like a different kind of fun. Like the restricted list and what's possible. There is like restricted list from a deck construction standpoint. Just you know, you're gonna get thrown so many curveballs. You know, because someone's like, you know, going to play something because it's good with Tinker or something like that, or it's good with some restricted card or something like that, right?
It's also like you don't have the same, like, the it's not to say that the games are more of a coin flip, but they're not as one-sided when you go into a matchup, right? Like, it used to be like, if I was playing Grixis as Rugdelver, I always felt like I was going to lose, and for the most part, I did, you know, because... The skill level is plateaued at a certain point, and it just comes down to what cards are being played. So if I'm playing against a deck that is better than mine, especially if they're mid-range decks, you know, tempo decks or mid-range decks, like it just gets to a point where the results are almost always going to be the same, you know, as long as nobody makes a giant mistake. Where in Vintage, you can occasionally just top deck something and be like, oh, this is exactly what I needed. I only have one of these in my deck. I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Right. Well, we talked a little bit about the Vintage meta. You should definitely post that breakdown you did for people going into Eternal Weekend. I guess we don't really need to do much more setup for Eternal Weekend because I think that
it's coming.
The Mana Drain Open is gonna give you a pretty good look into what's going on. I keep forgetting which screen your breakdown is on. It's on the small screen. So. It does look like, you know, people should be taking Storm seriously, and you should look in, you know, take Fast Bond somewhat seriously.
Yeah.
I think of it as, I see no survival decks here. Is that true?
That is true. I did not see any survival lists.
Just chiming in the fact that two survival decks made the top four of our last tournament. But I almost feel like the Fast Bond decks are going to be the survival decks. Well, you always have to because of Dredge, but what I mean is like, the same kind of people play Fast Bond as play Survival, and Fast Bond's like the new thing, you know. Survival is, I think, still a good deck, and Collector Oop is a good card in it, and that might be enough to get you there. But you know, Fast Bond is the original Survival from a broken green enchantment standpoint, right?
Yeah.
So like, you've got like, you know, a lot of things you can do with that and Bazaar and everything. So, you know, I'm not playing Vintage Champs this year. I won't be until the end of the day. Be interesting to see how things go that day. But yeah, I mean, great job. I'm happy that you did well and got, you know, a bit of a monkey off your back there. It's just like top eight, a nice size tournament with like almost 80 players there, right?
Yeah. That's easily the largest tournament I've top eighted by a long shot. And it's nice. Like, you know, the other guys that were in the car with me, Alan Yee, Ryan and Vasu and John, you know, they were all like, you know, oh, is this your first Vintage top eight? That's awesome. You know, like I felt really good. The night ended on a real like fun note for me. And then, like, you know, when we were all parting ways, we were just like, hey man, good job. Like, well done. So that was, you know, it was just like, you know, it was a nice like end of the movie moment for me, you know?
Yeah. Well, the thing that's nice, you know, too, I mean, like, that's some players who have made champs top eights and stuff like that too. Funny, Hank was the only person I lost to in the Swiss, at the Eternal Extravaganza that I top eighted. So I mean,
Hank's a demolisher, man. Like he always find, like,
just a crushing dude.
Wild
overall.
Dude, he found his outs like so well against me. I was just like, oh man, because he DT'd and he was like, you know, like, it's really hard to figure out what to grab because you've got the ley lines in play, you've got the collector ulf, like, and he just like figured it out, man. Like, I think he went for tinker and tinkered into a Citadel and got me from there. But like, he spent a few minutes like trying to figure out what he was gonna do with the Demonic Tutor, and it wasn't like 100% obvious to anybody, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's it for us this week.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think we have anything new to announce.
Do we have any new patrons?
I don't think so. I gotta check.
No, I think Ben was our last patron, which we talked about on the previous episodes. If you happen to want to chime in and help us with the podcast, I'll be posting this to some Vintage forums. So if you're a Vintage player and you wanna give us a hand, tell us that we need more Vintage content. We are Eternal Dirtles, so you know, we do Vintage from time to time as well.
If the old border is legal, we cover it.
Heck yeah. So yeah, that's, you know, it's
that's
Eternal
us.
Dirtles slash patreon.com/EternalDirtles. If you want to help support the show, you can also support the show right at the anchor.fm link, which you're probably, is probably on one of the links that you're seeing there. And just by listening, you're supporting us. So that's, you know, thanks. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks. Have a good week, everyone.
Have a good one.
Stop, I need more stuff. Can you see? I need more stuff. It's our good. Keeping up with the Joneses. Stop, I need more stuff. Can you see? I need more stuff. It's our good. Keeping up with the Joneses. I'm keeping up with the Joneses. Keeping up with the Joneses. All right. Where does he get those wonderful toys?